This program is brought to you by P1 Australia Racing Components, the designer of the oil heat mats for dry sump tank applications. Find out more about the truths on engine oil heating at p1australia.com.
You love supercars and keeping up to speed sometimes means hitting the rev limiter? Welcome to the Gates Rev Limiter Podcast. After each round, we unpack what happened. Join Andrew Clark.
Would have paused a fraction and got it right, and they probably still would have won the race. I mean,
and yours truly, Neville Wilkinson.
These are the heady days when Ford was spending
mega bucks for all the action, all the controversy, and sometimes a little emotion. The Gates Rev Limited Supercars Podcast. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or where you listen to them.
Thunder Media.
Hi, I'm Chaz Mostert.
Hi, I'm Shane Van Gisbergen.
And you're listening to Inside Supercars.
From the racetracks across Australia, and here's Inside Supercars.
On this episode of Inside Supercars, we speak to the man that's leading the charge at Grove Racing, David Couchy. And he talks about Gen 3 and just what it's meant for everyone in the Grove Racing garage and right across pit lane.
It's as competitive as probably I've ever seen it now. So it's ultra close. It's really, really difficult for young and old as such, you know. So it's a real challenge for everybody. The entire team is being challenged, from, you know, engineers, mechanics, drivers, everyone. It's all new, and we're learning lots and lots every time we take the cars out.
Couchy looks at parity, Grove Racing in 2023, Gen 3, and a whole bunch more. And it starts now.
Welcome to Inside Supercars, Tony Whitlock, and we're here with David Couchy. David, great to have you on the show again.
Good to be back.
You've had a sort of fairly tumultuous year, and it's the very thing that I wanted to talk to you about was to get some idea about, clearly, you know, it's not Grove Racing the situation's caused by, because you've had some fantastic results and, you know, poles and podiums and those things, but it's the consistency, which seems amazing from track to track. Can you put your finger on sort of what's involved in it?
Look, absolutely, being able to be consistent, you know, weekend after weekend, and being able to you know, get a podium or poles or race wins weekend after weekend, that's the goal of the team, and that's the way you get to being able to win championships, which is absolutely what we're striving to do. And, you know, look, right now we haven't quite got that consistency at the moment, although, you know, a couple of things haven't quite gone our way, and there's a couple of other issues outside of our control at the moment as well that aren't helping us. You know, we haven't been fast at every circuit that we've gone to, you know, and unfortunately a couple of times where we have been fast, we haven't turned that car speed into results. And, you know, that's what you need to do to win championships. But being able to do that takes some time. You know, we've got a great bunch of people. We're really starting to come together really well. Our vision is still correct, and the trajectory that we're on is still very, very positive and absolutely the right trajectory. But it does take time to be able to achieve that. As we've seen, you know, in the history of the sport, where, you know, great teams that end up dominating, they don't get there in 5 minutes. So we're still at the very start of our journey, and it's all heading in the right direction, and a little bit more time and we'll absolutely be where we need to be.
Even the fact that you're putting a rookie in like Matthew Payne, who has done some exceptionally good work. His qualifying and racing in Perth was extraordinary. Simmons Plains, it all fell in a bit of a heap there for him. And we've talked through with him, you know, on our rookie chats that we've been having through the year. David, of course, you know, coming out, you know, getting that pole position in Newcastle, ending up with a podium. There's no shame in being third in a race in this category. Just looking at it, sort of thing, that the cars have been at times so exceptionally quick in both a new newcomer like Matthew and somebody who's been in the game for a long time. And, you know, David did talk about, I remember distinctly at the Grand Prix, him talking about how the old hands were, you know, finding it sometimes the cars were so different. That's something that is obviously part of the new cars, isn't it?
Yeah, look, the new cars are definitely, they're a challenge. They're a challenge for everybody, you know, for those that have been doing it for 10 plus years to those that have been doing it for the first year, like Matt. So, I mean, in some ways it's a bit of an equal playing field, but you know, there's still something that counts for experience, and you know, we're still seeing, you know, and Dave, and there's still plenty of drivers that have, you know, the experience of racing in the Gen 2 cars, you know, that still counts. I think, you know, from a rookie's perspective, it's really the racecraft, I think, that takes a while to develop, managing the tyre, being able to race at a very high level, being able to, you know, the intensity of the racing, even if you're not, you know, actually battling with another driver or another car, it's actually just being able to sustain that level of concentration and that those sort of really, you know, for those lap times for that amount of time. And that's where the experienced drivers will have it over the younger drivers. And it's why we see, you know, the rookies take a couple of years to really be able to put a championship together. You know, there's no question in my mind, or probably anybody's mind, that Matt Payne is a very fast driver and is very talented. And now he has to develop that racecraft and that experience of, you know, when to push, when not to push, how to look after the tyre, you know, everything from pit stops, these kind of things that they're, you know, literally doing for the first time this year, which you don't really experience in Super 2 or many other development categories. So it's all that other stuff that sort of takes a little bit of time. And you know, this is an ultra competitive, you know, championship, and it's as competitive as probably I've ever seen it now. So it's ultra close. So yeah, it's really, really difficult for young and old as such, you know. So it's a real challenge for everybody. The entire team is being challenged, from, you know, engineers, mechanics, drivers, everyone. It's all new, and we're learning lots and lots. Every time we take the cars out, we learn something new.
It's extraordinary, over those 15 qualifying sessions, that not once has there been a blowout. No time has the 25 cars been covered by the second or something or other. Historically, which is, you know, under that second sort of thing, was normally what you'd look for, top 15 or something. But now regularly we're seeing 0.6 of a second covering 25 cars. It is extraordinarily close, as you say. The only part of the equation that's not quite panning out at the moment is this Mustang story. Now, obviously, Grove Racing last year had fast cars. This year it seems as though everybody's suffering a bit on the Ford side of the equation. We know that Tickford, some testing done with supercars. Are you starting to get a picture of some direction with supercars and a parity equation?
Yeah, I think, you know, in this last week after Darwin, I think we've made a lot of progress in starting to understand where the problem lies, you know, so, and analysing some data with supercars and the homologation teams. And now we're starting to see where the deficiency is with the Mustang. So, you know, it's a shame that it's, you know, it's already halfway through the year and we've had to go through a fair bit of pain for this to happen, but that's sort of the nature of these things, unfortunately. So now, you know, we just really want to work closely with supercars to understand the problem. And you know, we just want an equal playing field. We just want to be able to go there and know that if we do a good job, we can race for wins. I don't really feel like we've had that ability so far this year, but it's all positive that will get rectified and we'll have that ability moving forward.
The repairability, shall we say, you know, after a couple of incidents, certainly Courtney's crash at Newcastle was a shock to everyone that it didn't take the few hours that people would think to fix that sort of a crash damage, but also it seems sometimes that cars hit, and not just the Mustangs, the Camaros as well. Brody's wall tap, for instance, you know, suddenly that ended up being far more damaged. Have you seen that sort of thing where these cars seem to be that little bit more fragile than the previous car?
Yeah, I think that is pretty fair to say that we've seen, you know, incidents that we probably would have got away with the Gen 2 car. You haven't quite got away with them as lightly with the Gen 3 car. The repairability of the chassis itself, you know, that again, you know, is probably not quite where we want it as a championship. You know, we do have very hard, very close racing, which is what we want. We want a little bit of rubbing and touching, because that's what makes supercar racing, you know, so spectacular and so awesome to watch. I feel like we have lost a little bit of that. And look, it's an all new car, you know, and it is very difficult to get everything spot on. I mean, it would be lovely if we did, and you know, we didn't have all of these problems. But look, I think even if you look at other championships around the world, when they introduce, you know, completely new cars, reality is there's always, you know, things that you have to you know, re-engineer and go back and modify and upgrade and change. So I think it's important that we retain that ability to race close and hard. We go to a lot of, you know, street circuits. You know, we don't want to see, you know, just sort of call it light brushes with the wall, being able, you know, putting a car out of the race or some close hard racing, and then bang, someone's broken a steering rod or something like that. So that's not what we want to see. We want to see cars racing hard and finishing races. And, you know, I'm confident that over time we'll be able to get there as a championship.
I'm pretty confident too that you'll do that as well. I know a little bit about Brenton and Steve, and I certainly think that you're in a place that they show the sort of grit and determination that's needed to tackle these sort of problems of being in a highly competitive category. I did want to ask you about how this very new role for you, when you moved from 888 after quite some years, your only other real career in supercars was 888, and then you came and joined Grove Racing to be team principal. A big change of direction, no longer, you know, responsible for every nut and bolt, but how is that panning out for you?
Yeah, it's absolutely it's been a big change. You know, from race engineering, it's obviously a very technical role, and you're very focused on one car and, you know, sort of one driver. You know, you're always working together with a bunch of other engineers and mechanics, so, you know, and people. So it's still race engineering is still somewhat of a people management role as well. You have to be able to get everyone working together and get all the various sort of tasks happening on your car at the right time and making the right decisions. But, you know, it's pinned by, you know, very, very technical decisions, and it can be very, you know, as much as possible you try to make it as your decisions based around black and white facts as much as you possibly can. Team principal role is more about, you know, just more the people side. We've got Grant McPherson, we've got a, you know, really good engineering team led by Grant McPherson as technical director. Alistair McVane is a very highly experienced, you know, senior engineer in the group. And then we've got, you know, quite a number of young guys underneath those two guys. So, you know, these days all the technical aspects are, you know, left to those guys to work through. And then, you know, there's commercial aspects. We've got the crew chief to be able to run all the Costa, who runs all the workshop and mechanics and does a lot of the sort of operational and coordination of, you know, those guys. So it's really about, you know, bringing the whole team together. And then there's the business side of things as well, which, you know, and again, that's where I'm very lucky. I've got Brenton and Steve who are great businessmen. That's what they do day in, day out. So I've got them to lean on and learn from. But yeah, it's a very different role to race engineering. It's challenging in very different ways. I don't think there isn't such a thing as a
as an easy role in motorsport. I haven't found one yet. So, but it's also really great. You know, it's the challenge of having to bring a, you know, bringing a bunch of guys and girls together, you know, going racing and in slowly improving, and to you know, achieve the goals that we all want to achieve of winning races and championships. So so far I'm absolutely loving it, and it's been a great experience.
Now, I'm sure that you subscribe to what you'd call sort of the Peter Brock mantra of the way you do things. Maybe even Wally Story subscribes to as well, as you take a bigger bite and you chew like hell. Yeah. You've taken on a very big task.
Yeah, there's nothing easy about you know, winning in this sport. Like I said before, it's ultra competitive, and to be able to compete against the really established teams who have been winning for years and years. I mean, you've got your Triple Eights, your DJRs, you know, those guys have got very solid foundations that have been, you know, built over, you know, 15 plus years, 16, 17 years more. I mean, much more than that for DJR. So, you know, it's a massive task, but it's not impossible. You know, at the end of the day, we're all given the same opportunity. We all get the same practice sessions, the same test days. So we've all got the same opportunity to be able to do the job, and it's absolutely not impossible to go out there and beat those guys. It's not easy, but it can be done. And you know, the Groves aren't afraid of taking on big challenges. Their races themselves, you know, they go and compete. They're both over at the Spa 24 at the moment, so they're not afraid of tackling big events themselves. And you know, they were under no illusion when they got into you know, bought a supercar team of what it was going to take. But you know, we're doing the right things. We're getting the right people, and that's basically what it's all based around, is pulling together the right team of people. And once you do that, it's making everybody work together, setting everyone, you know, leading that bunch of guys and girls. And I don't see why we can't be as successful as any of the teams that, you know, that have been in the past.
David, there's one other question I really want to tackle you on, and it's because, unlike nearly everyone else in Australia who follows supercars or V8s or whatever you want to call them, that you know someone that is now embarking on a whole new challenge. You engineered Shane Van Gisbergen to a championship. You worked with him for many years in a data role and then race engineer. Give us some insight into what you think he's going through in his challenge at Chicago in his first NASCAR weekend.
I'm sure he's having a great time, you know, but on the same token, you know, that's not going to be an easy challenge at all. You know, I mean, look, Shane is an incredibly talented driver, as we've all seen, you know, over the years. And I think he's really in his, you know, he's really coming into his prime now. You know, I think we've seen that over the last 2 to 3 years in supercars. And, you know, he's really just at the peak of his career. And, you know, really proud of him to go over there and do that. You know, I don't at all think it's going to be easy, but if there's anybody who can do it, it's absolutely him. So I think everyone in Australia is going to be, you know, and New Zealand is going to be, you know, watching and really cheering for him, hoping that he can go over there and show those guys, you know, and it'll be a real credit to the Supercars Championship. You know, if he can go over there and get some good results, and you know, I mean, to be honest, no, you know, no matter what results he gets, I think it's still, you know, a credit to him and the sport that they are, you know, looking over here and wanting to put, you know, guys of his caliber in those cars. So, mate, for me, it's really exciting to watch him go over and do that. And like I said, I don't think it's going to be easy, but I'm pretty sure he'll handle it pretty well.
Given that you probably don't get a lot of downtime and you have got a young family, have you had a chance to look at any of Formula One season?
Yeah, look, I still try to watch each Formula One race, you know, every weekend. So, yeah, I still follow that quite reasonably religiously.
And your thoughts? I mean, obviously there's coming and going, but the most dominant thing is still the Red Bull cars. and Verstappen, it would be great to see a far more competitive field in Formula One, wouldn't it?
Yeah, look, and I think, to be honest, if you took Verstappen out of the championship as such, then I think you've actually got a really, really, close championship. Obviously, Alonso, he's probably the talk of the year, and what they're doing at the Aston Martin team. They've obviously got some good things going on there. It's Red Bull, but I mean, Perez has been a little bit up and down for whatever reason. They don't seem to be able to have two drivers consistently up the top. Now that's probably a credit to Max, and Alonso's been the probably the most, aside from Max, the most consistent driver, consistently P2 or P3 sort of thing. And then after that, you've got the bit of the resurgence coming from Mercedes. I think they've probably started to take a turn in their car development in the right direction, and we'll probably see their competitiveness continue to increase. We might start to see impacts of the salary cap start to hit Red Bull a little bit towards the end of the year. And whereas the development of the Mercedes may continue to accelerate, and they should be able to close the gap. And then you've got sort of Ferrari and that sort of start to head up that midfield battle. So look, I think it's an interesting championship. But absolutely it'd be nice to see Max really start to have to race someone. I don't think we've really seen Max, he's come through the field a few times, but we haven't really seen him go sort of wheel to wheel like we saw a few years ago with him and Hamilton. I think that was some of the most incredible racing we've seen in F1 for a while, so it'd be nice to see a bit more of that. But overall, I think it's quite interesting.
I'm looking forward to watching your cars, not only on the streets of Townsville, but for the rest of this year, and look forward to seeing the Grove Racing Penrite cars getting back up there again near the top end. I must say, Dave Reynolds has been someone I've known closely for 15 or more years, and Matthew Payne, someone I'm getting to know, and you've got a couple of delightful young men driving for you, and I'm sure with the crew that you've got around you, it won't be long till we're seeing those champagne bottles stacked on your shelves. Thank you very much, David Couchy, for joining us again on Inside Supercars.
Not a problem. Great to have a chat. Thank you.
Inside Supercars is produced by Thunder Media. Tune in next time for more. Or lock in the podcast on your iTunes or mobile device. Search Inside Supercars. The views expressed on Inside Supercars, including the panelists and guests, do not reflect the views of the network, Thunder Media, or Sport Radio. Any publication or rebroadcast of the show without the expressed written permission of Thunder Media is strictly prohibited.
You love supercars, and keeping up to speed sometimes means hitting the rev limiter? Welcome to the Gates Rev Limiter Podcast. After each round, we unpack what happened. Join Andrew Clark,
who paused the fraction and got it right, and they probably still would have won the race. I mean,
and yours truly, Neville Wilkinson.
These are the heady days when Ford was spending
mega bucks for all the action, all the controversy, and sometimes a little emotion. The Gates Rev Limited Supercars Podcast. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or where you listen to them.